Like, are you guys in a rivalry with Golden State? they won by 50 tonight. Kind of, what do you make of the way that they're playing right now, and the way the start they've gotten off to after a title?
I thought we played well. You know, Phoenix is a good team. you know, this was an important game for us, and you know, we wanted to focus in on this game. And you can't really look ahead of the schedule or anything. So I thought it was a good win, even though you know we were bad in stretches. You know, a win's a win. I'm sorry, what did you say? Golden State's a good team, man. They, you know, I didn't watch the game yet, obviously, but we know what they are. They're very good. They're very, very confident right now and very lethal. Yeah, they're tough, man. They have so many guys that can score the ball. I think, you know, what doesn't get enough credit for them is their defense. Their defense is outstanding. And they're a great defensive team, and you know you hear about their offense a lot, but you know, not as much about their defense. And I think that's what kind of sets them apart. You know, I've heard a lot of stuff about Doc said this, you know, Clay said this, but at the end of the day, you know, Doc talks about it with us all the time, and I understood what he meant. And he said, you know, he talks about you have to be lucky to win a championship, but at the same time, teams make their own luck. You know, by winning the most regular season games like they did last year. That puts them on the path to play the team, the right teams. You know, that puts them on the path to have home court advantage. So, you know, we know who they are, and we know what that atmosphere is like. It is a great atmosphere. It's fun to play in. And, we'll be ready for it.
That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to an undefeated Clipcast. I'm Chris Wilde here with the one and only Jaguar.
Undefeated,
Mike Jaglin.
4-0.
You know what? A lot of the sports media post game were grilling our Clippers about the Golden State Warriors, almost leaning towards that the Golden State Warriors could possibly be a better team than our Los Angeles Clippers. But a lot of the guys were like, well, they got the same record. A W is a W.
And that's true. Again, you know, they could be a better team.
We'll find out Wednesday.
We will find out Wednesday. Listen, Golden State has beat their four opponents over 100 points.
Incredible. You told me it's an NBA record.
And
the first four games they won by a point differential.
100 points.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And they're not winning by 25 on Wednesday.
Memphis's coach thinks Memphis is old. What we all already knew that.
Memphis is very old.
Yes.
You know what I like about the Clippers? We've got both young and old.
Yes.
And it's this a great team blend. Is deep. And here's my point about depth, Jag. On a night where J.J. Redick shoots 3 for 12 and Jamal Crawford shoots 2 for 9, we still won.
Well, I think the beautiful thing about this game was, as I was watching the game, I was following Twitter, just seeing how the fans were reacting. And when the bench came in the game, they were down by, what, 8 points?
Right.
And you thought to yourself, or fans thought to themselves, oh, this bench isn't clicking. It's awful. It's here we go again.
Bench was
and
great
then
tonight.
It ignites.
The bench was great tonight. The
Josh
bench,
Smith had his best game.
Incredible. Those two threes.
Two
timely
threes.
Timely threes.
That alley-oop to Wes. Wes has been playing great.
Doc Rivers said himself, Wesley Johnson the past three games has been fantastic.
And
the bench won it for us tonight.
Well, that's the thing about the bench is they're going to have times because, again, you have all these new players. The only player, or you had Austin and Jamal, but you have three other players you're basically implementing.
Absolutely. 9 new guys on the team and a brand new Mabute because he looks like a different guy. Shaved the beard, got a haircut. I didn't even record. I'm like, who the hell's 12?
He went to the shave.
He went to the shave of Beverly Hills. All right, so the bench won it for us tonight. They came in the third quarter with a deficit. They got us the lead. They extended the lead, and it was that much easier for the starters. And I love Jag.
Both quarters, you know, the second.
Oh, absolutely.
And the third.
Absolutely. Yeah. What I love about the bench is they're taking so much pressure off our starters. Our starters, the guy who played the most tonight, played under 34 minutes, Jack. No one's playing 39-minute, 40-minute games like they used to.
No, it's great. And, again, DJ, you know, didn't really have a stat-stuffing game. And
no.
I actually honestly think that Tyson Chandler really
got into his
pounded him tonight.
It was a physical game tonight.
It was. And this was one of those games that, you know, again, you and I were just talking about this. They're 4-0.
Last year,
and I know I've talked about this in the past, they would have dropped. They would have dropped one of these games if it was tonight. If it was one of those
they would be
Sacramento
3-1,
games,
maybe 3-1, maybe or 2-2. Absolutely.
But they're finding a way to win.
Yeah.
And the bench and the starters have not clicked together yet.
One of our fans asked us a question, and I don't know the exact answer, but he was curious what DeMarcus Cousins, who decided that he himself has a rivalry with the Clippers, is a Clippers-Cousins rivalry. One of our fans asked, I wonder what Cousins' record is versus the Clippers. Well, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that of the last 21 games that the Clippers played the Kings, guess how many times the Clippers have won out of the last 21 games they played the Sucktown Queens?
20.
18 out of 21. 18. Pretty good, Jack.
Yeah. And that's basically...
You guessed 20 because that's how much better they are.
That, and that's basically DeMarcus Cousins' entire career.
Pretty much, right?
But, you know, getting back to this team, you know, it hasn't been pretty. Chris Paul, honestly, does not, I think, look like Chris Paul yet. Shot hasn't been there.
You know what I liked was that he and Blake put up 30 shots together. They each put up 15 shots. So that's more than we've seen from Chris Paul in the past, him shooting 15 times, which I like.
Yeah.
He hit an early three tonight, which was great, which you just don't see because he usually passes the ball super early. I just love how spread out this team was. And you and I talked about this earlier. The best we've looked is probably the home opener versus Dallas.
Yep, I agree.
And we haven't looked as good as that night in the other wins, Jag. They've all been wins. They may not be by 25 points, but they're all W's. We're undefeated. There's only a handful of teams left.
And there's only two in the Western Conference. And they're going to clash on
Wednesday. And they meet Wednesday night.
And they meet on Wednesday night. But, you know, you had Lance again playing great defense. He had an unbelievable putback slam.
Incredible. Incredible. Ignited the fans.
You know, and again, you think that we'd see more Lance and or Wes towards the end of the game, but Doc has been playing Jamal.
That's right.
More or or Pierce, which Pierce you totally understand, but you know sometimes I would rather see Lance or
and
Wes
his defense,
out there.
Yeah. Well, what you didn't see if you weren't at the game tonight, big star Kevin Hart, big movie star on the floor.
Ride along too.
Some wedding movies, like 8 or 9 wedding movies.
Yeah, the Bachelor type movie.
That makes 10. There's been 10 wedding movies that he starred in. But here's what I learned tonight. His son, I'm guessing Kevin Hart Jr., a bigger ham than Kevin Hart. That kid went nuts on the Jumbotron.
Well, isn't Kevin Hart, like, best friends with Chris Paul? I think they are, like, best friends. I know Chris Paul ran in his... They ran on a 5K together down here.
Kevin Hart should definitely star in the Chris Paul biopic.
Oh, that would be great. That's great idea.
Yeah, the Cliff Paul story.
You're going to Warner Brothers tomorrow.
Starring Kevin Hart. I'm pitching. I don't have any of those guys attached, but I'm pitching this.
And Will Ferrell plays Blake Griffin.
Yes, Jack! Yes! He's double cast. He plays Blake Griffin and in a wig, he plays Spencer Hawes.
Exactly.
All right, we're undefeated. Blake tonight rolled his ankle early off of nothing. Like, he just was trying to slam dunk. I don't know if he caught that. He missed this weird slam dunk layup thing, and he rolled his ankle. Still, even though he rolled his ankle super early, still got 22 points and 10 rebounds.
Another double-double.
But I think maybe possibly losing the MVP race versus Steph Curry right now as
right
it stands.
Now, I mean,
Wednesday night's big. Blake's, the Clippers win, then Blake should be MVP.
Blake's play has still been phenomenal. I mean,
incredible.
There was a period in the game that the Suns cut in the lead. I think they got it down to 2 at that point. And they call timeout. Next play, drew up for Blake around the side to get inside and put something off the glass. He has this, you know, aura to him that he's going to get things done now.
His free throw shooting is such a difference, man.
Yeah.
The guy's automatic at the line. And last year, I think he shot 76%, which was his career high. And it looks like he's headed upwards of 80 this year. Like, that it's automatic now. It's like you don't want to foul Blake Griffin because there's 2 points
for
the Clips.
He does have that Karl Malone trajectory in that way. I mean, Karl Malone started his career an awful foul shooter. And basically became an 80% foul shooter.
So, talk about fundamentals. Talk about, like, discipline from Blake Griffin.
Yeah. And again, you know, tonight was a night, you brought it up, JJ was awful from beyond the arc.
Horrendous. 3 for 10, my friend.
3 for 10.
What I like, though, was that he's never afraid to shoot, because he had missed two gimmies.
And they were good looks. And
They were all a lot of good looks. He missed two gimmies in the fourth quarter, and you're, like, kicking yourself. Like, oh, come on, we need you to score.
Mm-hmm.
And then his third three, he hits it, extends the lead. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I want to see this team do more of is for that first unit, I think it does come down to ball movement. Get Lance more involved with cutting to the basket.
His moves to the hole are phenomenal.
I know. But find ways to take pressure off yourself and get easy hoops.
Absolutely.
I feel
the ball movement wasn't there tonight.
No, I feel like this team has been trying a little too hard. Not too hard, but they've made it hard on themselves.
Right.
And
well, the thing about the home opener that was so beautiful was the ball movement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing that they have to, you know, get through these kinks. You just hope that they go to Golden State
and just send
a message.
Absolutely.
You bring in Paul Pierce. You bring in Lance Stephenson. You bring in Josh Smith. You know, you bring in guys that have attitude.
I can't wait to see. Who's deeper? You know what I mean? The Champs or the Clips?
Well, they're going to come at us. They're going to throw a haymaker.
Absolutely.
They're going to throw a haymaker.
They hate us, Jack.
They get their rings, too. Right?
Replica ring night.
Oh, man.
Replica what? Ring night. Oh. Bunch of jerks.
Oh, man. Well, sponsored by what?
Ring Pop.
By Ring Pop?
Yep. Replica Ring Pops.
Zales?
You can suck on your replica rings, Oakland fans.
Oh, man.
Tasty, tasty championship replica rings. It's a huge game Wednesday night. It's the most talked about thing in sports. Wednesday night will be the Clippers Warriors.
It's the best rivalry in basketball.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that's a national game.
It is. It's an ESPN
game. ESPN game. That'll be the talk of all of sports. The World Series is over. Mm-hmm. There ain't no football on Wednesdays. That'll be the talk of all sports. And if the Clippers win, and by if I mean when, they will be the talk of basketball.
They will be. I mean,
because right now, there's a lot of talk. I listen to NBA radio on Sirius XM, and they're already talking about the MVP race, and it's between Blake and Steph and a little bit Anthony Davis.
And Westbrook.
Yes, and Russell Westbrook.
Listen, there aren't many people that are going to give the Clippers a chance but the Clippers. I mean, these are the champs. They're rolling on all cylinders. It's going to be difficult.
Doc mentioned tonight, people forget how good his Celtics were early after they won. They were just blowing people out of the building.
Until Garnett got hurt.
That's right. That's exactly what Doc said.
Listen, you're both as good as your record. They're undefeated. We're undefeated. So no matter how many points you win by, the records are the same. But we'll see. You know, they're the champs. They're a really good basketball team. They remind me of us in 2008. People forgot the following year we were better in the first 15 to 20 games before Kevin got hurt. And we came out, I mean, we were beating teams by 30 every night, it felt like. You know, that swagger's hard to knock off. You know, that's why when you win one, it's hard to beat them. And so really looking forward to it.
And that's the thing. When you're a champion, you have that swagger and that feel that you can beat anyone.
I wonder what the injury fairy is up to this season, because Steph Curry, reigning MVP, reigning NBA champ, used to be a bit of a glass Joe with his ankles.
Well, let's not forget, he's on a very favorable contract because of that.
That's right.
He's making $10 million a year.
Well,
that's one of the reasons why
we all know the highest paid NBA player isn't even the 200th best player in the league.
People forget that, you know, one of the reasons why Golden State is so successful is because they're not maxing out Seth Curry.
That's right.
Now they're finally getting, you know, they're finally playing.
They had to pay Draymond Green.
And Klay Thompson.
Right.
They're not going to pick up, Harrison Barnes or Azili's options.
No Festus Azili. How will I celebrate Festus Azili?
Bogut's on a big deal, but you have the MVP making $10 million
a year. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, how much is Jerkoff making down the hall from us, the 200th best player in the NBA, if you ask him?
$25 million.
I don't even think he's top 300, if you ask me.
Well, he's...
I think he's being kind to himself, Jaguar.
Yeah, when he says he sucks. Oh, man.
He said, I'm the 200th best player right now. I'm like, have you been watching the other 199 guys?
Yeah.
They're shooting better than 30%, dummy.
Yeah. But, you know, the Warriors are taking advantage of the opportunity. Everything fell in their favor with Steve Kerr, with a lot of these players. One of the things, you look at Steph Curry and...
call him Seth Curry. It's a more, well, his reasonable name.
His brother plays for the Kings.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But anyways, Andre Drummond, who won Eastern Conference Player of the Year, they actually had a chance to draft Drummond, but they drafted Harrison Barnes over him, so which is an interesting take because he would have had like a true bruiser that just gobbles up rebounds.
Right.
But then again, they still have their Andrew Bogut. And
Jack, do you think it's going to be? I mean, I know this is like looking in your crystal ball, but as it stands right now, it really looks like the MVP race is, like you said, between Shemp Curry, or whatever his name, up in Golden State, our guy, Blake Griffin, and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
And those guys, Russell and Shemp, are a little more injury-prone than our guy, Blake.
Well, you also have Russell that has Kevin Durant, you know, so you'll probably lose some votes there if Kevin's healthy.
So do you think it's gonna come down to health, but I think it's also going to come down to record.
It is going to come down to record.
Got the
Let's
better
be
record.
Honest. Blake's not going to win it if the Clippers don't get the number one seed and the Warriors are.
Right.
It's not going to happen. Let's just be honest. I mean,
Clippers could have the better record.
Yes, and it kind of goes back to what you've been stating for the last year or so. Is like they need to get the best record to win the title.
I let a fan go because a fan was kind of goading me tonight in the stands. And he's like, well, you know, the regular season doesn't mean anything.
It does.
It completely, every single year, the best team in basketball wins the championship.
The NBA, every year. The NBA is not the NFL. It's not hockey.
Major League Baseball.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're hot.
It's not the hottest team last. It's the best team.
Look at the Clippers the last 2 years getting in the playoffs. They were hot.
They were.
And what happened? They didn't get past the second round.
Remember that one year the Spurs were hot coming in and they lost?
Yeah.
Years ago. They had won something like 20 in a row.
I mean, this is... they need to get, you know, one of the top two seeds.
They really need the number one seed.
I know. And we
have to really look back to see when a number one seed didn't win the championship. And I think it was Dallas when they beat Miami. But don't quote me.
And I think one of the key things is you need to split the season series with the Warriors.
Oh, absolutely.
Two of the last 3 years, they've won the season series.
Golden State has.
Yeah.
Yes, they have.
So, I mean, especially last year. We had that game at home towards the end of the year that we let slip away.
Now, let me ask you this. Have we ever played Golden State in the playoffs?
Yes, we're one of them.
The Clippers have?
Yes.
Now, who won that series, Jag?
The good guys.
Oh, the Clippers. Oh, that's really interesting. Oh, really? Wow. Maybe we should give the advantage to the Clippers. Speaking of advantage and Clippers, all you Clippers fans out there in what I'm not referring to as Clipper Nation, you guys are at an advantage right now because our own Michael the Jaguar Jaglin sat down with a ton of Clippers tonight. Who didn't you interview is the easier question. But seriously, Jag, Oprah Jagfrey, who'd you talk to? Who was your favorite interview? Set this up for us.
Well, let's dance with Lance again.
Oh, my favorite.
It's a quick but fun dance interview.
A little quick but fun mambo.
Yeah, well, mambo.
All right, dancing with Lance. Let's take us the Jaguar. Takes us and does the foxtrot with Lance. Let's listen.
So Lance, 3-0 going into Oakland. What's your mentality right now?
Just play smart. I mean, they're a tough team. We can't let them get us out of our play. We just got to keep believing in our defense and just play hard.
For you, you seem, again, you're making things happen, and you're fitting into this offense. Is that something you're just doing, just play your role?
I just got to play my role. I ain't got to do too much. I mean, just got to let the game come to me. And when I'm open, be ready, and just play lockdown defense.
People have been talking about your fancy passes. What's with the fancy passes? Is this you?
I mean, I always knew how to pass. I just like to put a little sauce on it.
And, little sauce on it.
I feel like if I when I make a fancy pass, I gotta do something after it.
Lance making them dance.
Yeah, I gotta do something.
So for you guys, like you're 3-0, but it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been easy for you guys.
I mean, in the West, every game is tough. I mean, it's all go down to the end. But I mean, as long as we win, we good.
Any more thoughts going into this game, or just another game?
Just another game. Just gotta come in mentally sharp and just play our game.
Take it easy, Jag. What do you mean it hasn't been easy?
It hasn't been easy. Let's be honest.
Well, I thought that was...
It hasn't been Warriors easy.
I thought that interview had some sauce on it.
Oh, that was great.
Hey, look, I'm not saying we're sauce.
I love Lance.
Oh,
he's
the best.
Yeah.
I think my favorite... I mean, it used to... No, hey, look, I'm never going to ever knock on Picasso. But I'm telling you, Dancing with Lance is really becoming my favorite segment on the show.
It's great. It's great.
All right, so you didn't just dance with Lance in the locker room. You actually got a couple other guys.
Well, one of the guys I really wanted to talk to that I haven't had a chance to is Josh Smith, especially with the bench having the night they did.
Absolutely.
40 points from the bench.
Incredible.
Which is huge. That would have never happened last year.
No, not at all.
But Josh Smith, you know, is, you know, basically playing multiple positions and mostly at the five. And all these guys are learning their roles, and I had a chance to talk to him. And then also I asked him a little bit about playing Golden State.
Genius. I can't wait for Jay Jag and Jay Smooth. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
Mike Jaglin with Clipcast. Nice to meet you. 40 points for you guys on the bench tonight. Mm-hmm. Great.
I mean, whenever we can contribute to the success of a win and not really try to put as much pressure on the starters, as much as possible as we can do it, it's beneficial for the health of the team.
How are you feeling comfort level now?
I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling good. I'm just, you know, still trying to find it, not rushing, understanding and knowing that if I just focus on defense each and every night, that, you know, everything else will fall into place.
I mean, people don't realize, too, you have so many different moving parts that haven't played together. It takes time, right?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, we have 9 new faces. The second unit is probably unfamiliar to Clipper Nation. And we're just trying to get familiar with each other. We're still working. We're still talking. We talk on the bench before we go out on the court. When we come back out, we're still talking, just trying to get everything together. And tonight it was clicking for us on all cylinders with the second unit.
And how big is that for you guys to step up?
It's big. It's big. It's big. It takes pressure off the starters to be able to try to create the momentum and energy each and every night. And you know, it gives us the opportunity to just to keep adding the depth that we need in order to be successful this season.
Now, Josh, you're going up to play the Warriors, a team you're familiar with.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your thoughts? Go ahead.
Well, we just got to go in there and just play basketball. I mean, that's a tough arena to be able to get a win out of. And we just got to focus on ourselves. We can't get bottled up in the emotions of the crowd and, you know, the trash talking that the crowd brings. And we just got to focus on ourselves. We can't get down on ourselves when they make a run. We just got to be able to try to be composed, stay composed, and stay within what we do in order to be successful.
As we all know, Josh Smith and his then Houston Rockets lost to the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, so there's no love lost there. This is going to be a big game for him on Wednesday. He's got a lot to prove on Wednesday night, don't you think, Jack?
Oh, for sure. I mean, they all do. But, again, it's great having someone like that that has a chip on his shoulder getting knocked out by these guys last year.
That's right.
You know, now he's going to contribute to it on a different angle. And now this bench is legitimate. And you talked about it. The starters aren't having to play these grueling minutes.
No. And Doc used to say last year all the time, when I was playing, everybody played 48 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, always. And
everything gets shorter in the playoffs.
That's right.
But we've found out over the last few years,
right,
it doesn't necessarily need to get shorter.
No.
If you have players that can play,
let them play.
Let them play.
Yeah.
Ride your hot hand.
Yeah.
Heck, in that game 6 that killed us, up 3-1, you had Josh Smith and you had Corey Brewer. Those guys got hot.
That's right.
They weren't counted
on.
No.
You know, like, and Doc was saying, like, 40 minutes is what he plans on playing his guys. It's what he said last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if anybody's played 40 minutes this entire season. I know we're only 4 games deep.
No, I don't think so.
But I do know that we are undefeated. And he's not having guys play for 40 or 39 minutes And I'm telling you, in a long, grueling 82-game season, I mean, tonight Blake played for whatever it was, 34 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he got banged up. He rolled his damn ankle. You know, he got clobbered a couple of times. There was that one play half court where he just got body blowed and yep. knocked down on the floor. I mean, he really got bumped and
bruised
tonight.
Yeah, to get tonight. The ball. When they were trying to get the ball in.
That's right. That's right. On the inbound pass, Paul Pierce. So yeah, man, like, you know, he got bumped around, and thank God he didn't have to play five more minutes of getting bruised by Tyson Chandler.
Yep.
But yeah, the minutes are going to be crucial, and this bench is going to be crucial. And you sat down, you went down by the rivers,
with Austin,
with our main point guard off the bench, Austin Rivers.
So how would you assess everything, so far this early in the season for the team?
How would I assess it?
Yeah.
It's exciting, man. Just building. That's really the best way I could put it. We're just building right now, just getting better.
How do you feel yourself, you know, blending with the second unit? What are the keys for you?
Just to take charge, be vocal. That's it, really. Just be vocal and just to be aggressive on both ends, and just to kind of lead by example.
What is the key, like, blending in with all these guys? I mean, last year it was basically you, Jamal, and Baby, and now you have Josh and Paul.
I mean, just to play. I mean, I'm not even trying to blend in. I'm not trying to mix in, or I'm just being myself. I think when you try to too hard to blend in and focus, just it takes too long. We're already mixing together. You know, we're gonna have nights where we do great, and other nights where we're not great, but we still have to have a positive impact on the game, you know what I mean? So I'm just trying to go out there and just do whatever I can to help the team win. I'm not really focused on, like, blending in or anything. I'm just playing with energy is my thing.
And is that something that the second unit needs to do, especially on the defensive end, consistently?
Yeah, just get stops. You know, there's going to be nights where we're hitting and we're just killing it because we have so many scores in that second unit, you know. There's going to be nights where only one or two of us are hitting, which is fine as long as we're getting stops. You know, stops can never – that can't – you know, your makes and misses sometimes are going to be, you know, four or five games in a row you'll play well. That one game you might, you know, that's just the way it is. Defense has to be there every night. You know, that's not something that's just effort. That's not skill. You know, I mean, that's an effort. And there's a skill to it, obviously, but that's effort. So if we can bring that every night, everything else will take care of itself because we have enough scoring in the second unit where we'll be able to score the ball. But it helps when you get stops. We can run a transition where we're constantly taking the ball at the basket and having to run in sets. I think that hurts us because we have guys that like to get up and down. So if we can get stops, we can really run up the floor and score.
Have you guys put in an offense for the second unit or been working on it?
Yeah, we have tons of plays, so it's just about us. We have our little package. You know, I don't have us run 100 plays. I only have like three or four plays I like us to run. And then I just, you know, my pops, you know, I have his own set of plays. So, you know, I have our plays, and then my, you know, the coaches will make their own plays. So, that's it.
So you're winning the games you have to win, correct? And within the Western Conference, your margin of error is really slim, right?
Yeah, I mean, in the West, every game's a must win because every team has right now has playoff hopes, which is, let me rephrase that, realistic playoff hopes. You know, I mean, everybody wants to go to playoffs, but I'm talking about realistic playoff hopes. Every team in the West right now is a playoff team. You know what I mean? Phoenix Suns are a great team. Dallas are a great team. Warriors are a great team. Sacramento's a hell of a team. You know what I mean? There's no nights off. So, you know, the must wins are every night. I mean, I don't know what to do. I mean, in the West, you got to come play every game, which is more fun, to be honest, that way. I'd rather have it this way than any other way. It's more competitive. Pushes you to be better. So, yeah.
Do you buy into this this hate towards the team, like from Boogie Cousins and other people that have said they just don't like the Clippers?
Do I buy into that?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I don't even pay attention to stuff like that because it's one of those things where, I mean, I guess that's just the way he feels. You know, I don't like him or dislike him. You know what I mean? I don't have anything. I don't know him. You know what I mean?
You're just playing basketball.
Yeah, I just play. He talks a lot on the floor to us and other teams, and that's him. You know what I mean? He's dead. You know, I don't know him, so I can't really comment on how he feels towards us. you know, sorry you feel that way, but we're not going to let up. You know, we're only going to get better. So we just have to keep getting better, and we don't wish any negativity upon him unless he plays us. You know what I mean? So that's that. Yeah, I don't have any comment towards that because, I mean, a lot of people don't like us, which is fine. That's just, I don't know why, but it's just what it is.
Can you guys use that to your advantage?
I mean, I think right now the only thing we should be using our advantage is us. Like, no offense, but whatever anybody else says. You know what I mean? Like, who cares what people say, teammates say? Like, people in general are going to hate you. You know, there's so many people out there that already, no matter who you are. You know, there was an incident the other day where someone said something to Chris or Blake or, you know, LeBron. Or it doesn't matter who you are. People are going to hate you or love you. So why do you care anyway? You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand. I never got that. Like, I've never cared what someone thought of me because no matter how hard you try, someone's always going to hate you. You know what I mean? Yep. Especially when you play. And you don't even have to be famous or a basketball player. Someone's always not going
to
like you. You know what I mean?
You're not going to be able to save the world.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just the same thing. It's even more at this level when you're in the public eye. Teammates, player, or not teammates, I meant other team players, even before they know you, might not like you. You know what I mean? That's just what it is. You know, I had that whole mindset growing up, especially where I come from. You know, with my dad, I already knew players weren't going to like me coming in. I was like, whatever. You know what I mean? I didn't use it to motivate me because I already had my own stuff motivating me. You know what I mean? I could care less what someone thought of me. I'm sure a lot of them are now like, oh, he can play. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, what you think of me, whether you thought I could play or not. I don't play to please people. I play to please myself and help my team win. So I think that's what motivates us right now is we want to get the first banner here. If you ask what motivates us, it's not what people hate us. It's there's not one banner in the thing. And we have all this.
Taylor Swift has
it. Yeah, we have all this attention, all this, you know, because we're a great team. We want it for the right reason. We want it because we're the best team. You know, we look at what the Warriors did last year with that team, and we're like, we could do that. We know we can. So we just have to take it step by step. So that's what motivates us.
How much film do you watch, like, off the court? Do you watch a lot of the Warrior games? And
I watch everybody. I've seen every Warrior game this year. I've seen every – I was watching Cleveland. They're playing right now. Playing Philly. I was watching that game. I was watching Minnesota versus Portland on my phone. I mean, I watch basketball everywhere, especially you know, the top teams, you know, so I've watched the Warriors, Houston, because it just gives you an idea of just, like, just familiarity with just other teams and other players, and, I mean, they're a heck of a team. They're playing their butt off, too.
Is there a level of importance this early in the year to go to Golden State and make some kind of statement?
Oh, I don't know if there's a level of importance. I just know it's another game we got to win. You know, I mean, it's like, tonight's game is just as important as the Golden State. And I'm not saying that to say the right answers. I mean, honestly, Phoenix could be in the playoffs, so we could play them in the first round. You know, I don't know. So, like, I don't really – they're both equally important. This team has a hell of a lot of good players, athletic guards. Like, tonight will be a fun game. Golden State obviously is going to be a fun game. We want to beat them just because they're another team ahead of us that's in our way. And obviously, we don't like them. They don't like us. You know what I mean? So, that obviously, there's a rivalry there, but – The Golden State's game is not any more important than this one.
Lastly, did you get your dad on Twitter? Who was responsible for that?
I actually didn't know he was on Twitter till yesterday.
Really?
I didn't know. Yeah, I don't go on Twitter. I have a Twitter. I'm thinking about deleting it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't use it.
Okay.
It's not for any other reason. I mean, the human mind. I feel like the human mind works like this. Someone could tweet 10 great things at you, right? And especially as an NBA player, you're so used to people saying good things, you know. So they just go past your head. One negative comment, like a blank, you know what I mean? It angers you.
Yeah.
So the only thing Twitter is really for an NBA player is just so to see people who are saying good things about you and to focus on the bad things. So, like, why am I using it?
Yep. Now, and the great thing about Twitter, I think, is just news source.
That's the only reason. I go on Twitter because that's where you find out everything.
Yep.
Especially, like, stuff that has nothing to do with basketball, like just news or, you know, tragic stuff, you know, just like you hear, you know, I go in there and that, and for promotional stuff, and every once in a while I do stuff to connect with fans who really care. So that's the only reason I'm probably going to keep it, but I don't really, who knows what my dad's tweeting on there. I don't want to know. I don't even follow him yet. So I don't know, but that's funny he got that. It's crazy he got it now. It's weird timing.
I know. I think you're doing it in the off-season.
The off-season is probably going to tweet stuff about golf. I don't know what he's going to tweet. I mean, he's a good guy to have Twitter because he has so many like lines that could help people. Like he's like a very, my pops is like a smart ass dude, man.
Well, like it's
he,
like Kevin Eastman on Twitter.
Yeah, it's like yeah, he just has like some stuff that will like really help you in life. He's been through just about anything you could possibly be as a human. I mean, like he's just kind of been through it all. So it's just like when he says something, it kind of means more than if a random person says it because you know that guy's actually done it or seen it. So he'll probably be. I mean, I'm sure he has a lot of followers already.
I think he got like 15K overnight.
Yeah, see, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he'll be a good guy to follow on Twitter just because he could help people out no matter what sport they play in. So, that's crazy he got Twitter, though. I just found that out yesterday. I was like, someone texted me, he's like, does your dad have Twitter? I was like, Jesus. I hope he's not tweeting, like, I don't know what he's tweeting. We got to watch his emotional emotional tweets with him.
You have to moderate his tweets and make sure that
I'm in charge of that. You got all these people here working for him. You got about 40 people working under him. One of them got to be in charge of his tweets.
How's everything for you? Like, now this is your first full year in LA, just living in LA and knowing that this is home.
I like it. I mean, it's home's Orlando for me. This isn't home. You know, my home is where I come from. This is my basketball home right now, you know what I mean? But I love L.A. Fan base is, like, just continuing to grow. Seems like every year our fan base just get bigger and bigger and bigger. People are excited about the team, and more importantly, we have a great team. So we're just trying to get better and build and just keep competing and just learning, you know what I mean? Like, we're still not comfortable with each other yet just because we got a whole bunch of guys we got nine new guys, you know what I mean? Like, so... I even count myself as new, you know, a little bit, you know, so, but one thing we can do is just play hard. So we're going to play hard and just have fun. And I wouldn't really count myself new. I'm pretty familiar with the team, but like you said, you know, we're going to get it.
Jack, that interview is not suitable for work.
Well, we took care of it.
I may have to like rate this podcast explicit.
Oh no, no.
You know what I actually have to do? Like just for the nuts and bolts is like, early on in the Clipcast, like kind of like 4 years ago or 5 years ago, whenever the heck we started this thing, we were a little bluer.
Yeah, we were.
So on our iTunes rating thing, I have us rated as explicit because of the old blue episodes. But now we're squeaky clean.
We are.
We're family affair.
We're definitely PG-13.
So I gotta figure out how to take off the explicit rating. It's false advertising.
Yeah, it really is.
I'll take a look.
It really is.
I'll put on my AV Club Kid, you know, suspenders.
I love it.
See if I can take care of that. Because this is, up until that interview, mind you, I had to get the bleeper out, for God's sake.
Well, you got it out.
You know what I like, though, Jack? Is there is a looseness when the guys talk to you that I don't think is there when other people interview them. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's you. I think it is you, honestly.
Oh, thank you. No, you know what? I want to ask questions that fans want to hear, but also that are smart and intelligent.
Right.
And I don't want to, you know, I the great thing I love, too, is that you and I, like, with what we're doing, the Clippers are our story. We don't necessarily need to go out and hunt and ask certain questions for a certain beat.
You're right.
You know, or, you know.
Because the writers do have set stories in their head, and I'm only going to ask questions about this story.
Mm-hmm.
Next is Golden State. I'm only going to ask Golden State questions, and the guys are exhausted answering these damn Golden State questions.
And we have fun with whatever is, you know.
We're rolling with
We don't care.
Right.
We just want to hear it from the horse's mouth, from the Clip's mouth. And,
that's right.
And have fun, and that's what we're what
every
we are.
Episode.
Fan porters.
Our main story is the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yes. And we'll let you know.
And right now, the storyline is undefeated
4-0.
Should we sound the horn?
Oakland. Here we go.